Good afternoon. My name is Justine Jimenez, and as Marinelle pointed out, I will be presenting voluntary disenrollment from Medicare Part C and Part D plans, variation across plan types and beneficiary profiles. Before I get started, a quick disclosure. I'm employed by Impact International, and Impact was, although we were contracted to create contract level performance measures, voluntary disenrollment, all the data used in this presentation is publicly available, and the research was conducted outside of Impact's contracted research agreement with CMS. Okay, so this presentation will be divided into four parts. First, I will review what voluntary disenrollment is as a Medicare performance measure. Then I will discuss some of the voluntary disenrollment measure findings, followed by a contract characteristic analysis, and finally conclusions. So first, I'm not sure if you all are familiar with the Medicare Plan Finder tool on Medicare.gov, but it's basically a tool that allows Medicare beneficiaries and caretakers and whomever else who would like to analyze the data, compare the quality and cost of Medicare Part C and D plans, and even make online enrollment decisions during the annual election period and other election periods. In 2010, the Medicare Plan Finder actually published 39 Part C and 24 Part D health plan quality and performance measures. These are also known as star ratings. Impact was tasked with developing a new measure. It's formally called the percent of plan members who choose to leave the plan. We call it voluntary disenrollment. Under the domain health plan member complaints, appeals, and choosing to leave the health plan. The data source we used was Medicare 2008, contract year 2008, administrative data, the Medicare beneficiary database, and health plan management system. Contract level measures were published in October 2009, and they were for beneficiaries to make contract year 2010 enrollment decisions. So we used 2008 data. We analyzed it in 2009. It was published towards the end of 2009, and that was for beneficiaries to make contract year 2010 elections. essentially, voluntary disenrollment, it is easy measure. However, compiling the data was the challenge. Voluntary disenrollment is simply total disenrollments from a contract minus the involuntary disenrollments from that contract. We had to back into voluntary disenrollment as a measure because the involuntary disenrollment data was the most precise and the most available in the administrative databases. In case you're curious, the nine types of involuntary disenrollment that we backed out of the total disenrollments were things such as moving out of the service area, loss of Medicare entitlement, death, gain of LIS status, or plan termination or non-renewal. Again, these involuntary disenrollments are things that are outside of the plan or contract's control. So we didn't count that disenrollment towards their voluntary disenrollment rate. In 2010, enrollees had three primary opportunities to disenroll from a contract. There's the open enrollment period, annual election period, and special election periods. Just as a note, there are significant changes in the enrollment periods for contract year 2011 coming up. First of all, I believe they're extending the annual election period back to begin October 15th rather than this may be contract year 2011 or 2012. I'm not quite sure, but I know that there's significant changes coming up for the election periods. 2012. Okay, thank you. They're extending the annual election period back to begin October 15th, and it's going only to December 7th. They're dropping the open enrollment period. They're adding an open enrollment period for institutionalized beneficiaries. And they're adding a disenrollment period where beneficiaries can drop Part C and go back to traditional fee-for-service Medicare. So based on the 2010 election periods that were available to beneficiaries, we proposed three measures of voluntary disenrollment: aggregate, within year, and across year. And the reason why we did this is we wanted CMS to have the option to choose between what election period, what range of disenrollments for a publication. So we used a cohort approach in which we only looked at the first disenrollment. So for the aggregate measure, we're only looking at beneficiaries enrolled as of January 1st, 2008. And we're only looking at their first disenrollment. We did that because it was pretty challenging to create a continuously moving denominator if beneficiaries were switching up to 12 times a year. So we went with the cohort approach. We only looked at the first disenrollment that the beneficiary made. And just a side note, 95% of beneficiaries only switched once in 2008. Only 5% had these multiple disenrollments. So. Now I just want to present briefly some findings from our voluntary disenrollment measures, the aggregate, within year, and across. So now just looking at the beneficiary totals, we're not looking at the contract level statistics or rates quite yet, but looking at all of the beneficiaries enrolled in Part C, 10.7% voluntarily disenrolled in 2008 for the aggregate measure. That's from January all the way through December. Within year was significantly less because of the few election period opportunities that are available to beneficiaries. And across year was 7.2%. And that, again, across year is just really looking at the annual election period that was at the end of contract year 2008 for contract year 2009. We see slightly smaller rates of voluntary disenrollment for Part D beneficiaries. And an interesting thing I just want to mention with these rates, because as I was talking to some people here at the conference, they were interested to know, of these voluntary disenrollees, how many or what percent switched back to original fee-for-service or just dropped their Part D coverage. So of the 10%, 10.7% aggregate voluntary disenrollment rate, 12.3% of those beneficiaries switched back to original fee-for-service. In other words, we couldn't find another contract into which they enrolled. Then out of the Part D beneficiaries, of the 9.6%, 11.1% just dropped Part D. We couldn't find another Part D contract in which they enrolled. An important point I want to point out right now is, of the three measures we proposed, CMS chose the aggregate measure. So that's what you would see if you went on to look at the plan ratings. You would see all of the disenrollments from January through December 31st. Now looking at the contract level voluntary disenrollment rates, here are the median rates for Part C contracts and Part D contracts. And I will move along. I just want to clarify very quickly. All of these findings for voluntary disenrollment, they exclude cost plans, employer group health plans, special needs plans, demo plans, PACE, and PACE plans. So those are all not included in this analysis. So now with the background of how contract level voluntary disenrollment rates were created and exactly what voluntary disenrollment is, the goal for the remainder of this presentation is to discuss how certain contract characteristics begin to explain the differences in voluntary disenrollment rates. We were able to scour all of the publicly available data sources. We went to Medicare.gov, which houses the star ratings, plan ratings, however you want to call them, the quality ratings, performance measures. It houses all of those, Medicare.gov. We pulled the downloadable databases, and we were able to come up with 12 structural characteristics and 3 formulary characteristics. And also using CMS.gov, they have some great enrollment public use files, contract level, plan level public use files. So we also used those. So some of the structural characteristics, they're pretty basic. Contract size is just number of beneficiaries enrolled. organization types. We're talking whether it's a private fee-for-service or a local CCP or a regional CCP. And then we go all the way down to looking at some of the monthly premiums, looking at the annual deductibles. And over on the formulary side, number of formularies. I don't know if you are familiar with how some formularies work under plans and under contract, but number of formularies is different than number of plans offering Part D. So you'll see number of plans offering Part D as a structural characteristic. These differ because formularies can be shared across Part D plans. So, and then that created our next characteristic, which is percent of Part D plans with unique formularies. In other words, they don't share their formulary across plans. I also quickly want to point out the formulary types, basic or alternative. There's actuarially equivalent standard, and that's a basic formulary, defined standard benefit, that's also basic, or the alternative drug coverage, which is basic alternative or enhanced alternative. So, after we merge the voluntary disenrollment data, the star ratings, at the contract level with the characteristics that we gathered at the plan level and rolled up to the contract level, we merged those two databases and we began to analyze the average aggregate voluntary disenrollment rate across our population of 533 contracts. I want to mention we did not look at MA-only contracts because the publicly available data just wasn't there for the majority of them, so they were dropped. But there's only a handful of them anyway still effective for Medicare. So we see here the MAPD plans have a slightly higher rate of aggregate voluntary disenrollment. We see that contract size less than 800 beneficiaries. We're seeing 23% as opposed to an 8.5% voluntary disenrollment rate for the big plans of 10,000 plus beneficiaries. And we see that private fee-for-service contracts, for some reason, have this much larger aggregate voluntary disenrollment rate. We have to look into that one. We're not quite sure. and then we looked at number of plans in the contract, and we see sort of a trend downwards. As you have more plans in your contract, we're seeing a lower voluntary disenrollment rate. Number of formularies, the max in our data was 5. So even if a plan may have 164 contracts, most of them being Part D, we're only seeing 5 formularies. And again, this is a similar trend to what we're seeing with the number of plans, in that the voluntary disenrollment rate is decreasing as the number of formularies goes up. Here's some more. Mean analysis, the monthly Part C premium. It's not a continuous upward trend, but at least we see the difference between a very low Part C premium, between $0 and $10 a month, to a more than $100 a month Part C premium. We see that difference from 15% to 20%. The Part D premium, we're not seeing the same trend as the Part C premium, but this could be explained by quality or some other factors that may be underlying why we're seeing lower rates of voluntary disenrollment with the more expensive Part D contracts. We also looked at the alternative drug coverage plans. If all Part D plans that a contract offers are these alternative drug coverage plans or more than basic drug coverage, we're seeing a higher rate of voluntary disenrollment, which is interesting. Now, one theory is that maybe because there's 451 contracts with all of their Part D plans or alternative drug coverage, maybe there's a lot of competition and beneficiaries are bouncing around. So we're not quite sure about that one. But as LIS enrollment also, we're seeing at least from the 5% to 10% down to the 50%, we're seeing this continuous increase in the aggregate voluntary disenrollment rate. So, I want to jump in now to our linear regression model. Based on the mean analysis, we established a nice set of variables here to begin to explain aggregate voluntary disenrollment. Now, since the availability of certain variables, certain plan characteristics and formulary characteristics, they varied across plan types, we performed these three separate linear regression models. We see here that the MAPD and PDP contracts, all of their size categories are significant, and they have a constantly increasing negative effect on the aggregate voluntary disenrollment rate. Here we only listed the significant coefficients. If the field is blank, that means that was used in the regression, but the results weren't significant. And if there's the double dash, that means that variable was not used in that regression. And we see for the MAPD and PDP contracts that these variables explain 27% of the aggregate voluntary disenrollment. MAPD contracts, we see that the number of plans becomes a significant predictor of the aggregate voluntary disenrollment rate, and also the Part B premium reduction rate. I won't go into exactly what Part B premium reduction rate is for time, but if you have any questions about that, we can speak later. The PDP contracts, 37% of these plan characteristics explain the variation in aggregate voluntary disenrollment rate for PDP contracts, and actually the Part D premium becomes significant, and you can see the interesting thing here is that the size 4 and size 5 size categories and percent of LAS enrollment, they're always significant if you're looking at MAPDs, just MAPDs, and PDPs together. So, in conclusion, we see not so much the formulary. So this is a little typo. The formulary characteristics, interestingly enough, we thought that they would have an effect, at least maybe on the MAPD or PDP contracts. We're not really seeing that so much, so this is a little typo, but the structural and demographic characteristics explain a significant proportion of a contract's voluntary disenrollment rate, particularly contract size, the number of plans within a contract, the percent of LAS enrollment, that's existence of alternative drug plans, no. Plan premiums, premium reduction amounts, and certain organization types. Now, the reason why, sort of at the end explaining why we wanted to do all of this analysis is the star rating system as it stands now, it's not as equitable as it could be to all of the Parts D and D contracts. I think CMS is currently working on stratifying the star rating system. If not, they have it in their plans to do in the future, but perhaps creating different thresholds for their performance measures and quality measures based on, let's say, contract size, or stratifying them in some way. So, another important note is that this analysis, this voluntary disenrollment analysis, is unique because this measure was discontinued for contract year 2011. There could be many reasons why, but my hypothesis is that so much data needed to be pooled from several administrative databases in order to get this measure nailed down for October publication. So it may come back, may not, but there's still plenty of research to do. I just want to point that out very quickly. We could look into more beneficiary characteristics, gender, race, age, risk scores. That data is more protected than some of the other variables we were able to include in this analysis, but that would be something we'd certainly love to put in our model. Also, we'd like to interact some of the perhaps LAS percentage against number of plans and do some interaction variables there. And we also like to perform some similarly related regression models, perhaps with other performance measures in the star rating system. So, thank you.